was a great song about heaven that John and Vicky sang, and a great reminder to us. You know, you think about our lives here on earth, full of responsibility and adventure, and very, very important to the Lord. But if you go by the book of James in the Bible, you know, we got about 2 hours in terms of the clock of eternity, 2 hours to live here on the earth. James says it's like a morning fog. Okay, we're here, and the next thing you know, our time is finished. And then we have trillions and trillions and trillions of years to be with God or apart from God. That's pretty a fearful thought. And by God's grace, you know, He wants to do everything possible for us to, so we can be with Him forever. Yeah, He's great like that. So trust in Christ and know the gift of eternal life. Heaven can begin for you now in your soul and forever with the Lord. And it'll make your 2 hours plus on earth very exciting and full of purpose, and then an eternity as a gift from God. So thank the Lord for all He accomplished. He went to prepare a place for us. I want to give credit to Reverend Christopher Ash for many of the applications and illustrations of today's message from Psalm 146. He's a Scottish preacher and commentator. In the small town of Nazareth, there was a young man who attended synagogue on a Sabbath day, much like we're doing on a Sunday here. He listened intently to the reading of God's Word, and he knew the passage both in his mind and in his heart, very familiar with it. But it was good to hear the truth again. And the passage was Psalm 146. First, it was read, and then everybody said it together, like we pray the Lord's Prayer, and then everybody sang it. That's how they did many times with the Bible, to get it sunk into their hearts. And the song was known to the young man, like the song Amazing Grace is known to us. Very familiar. Jump into that Psalm 146. He connected with it so much, it was almost like he wrote the words himself. Well, the young man was Jesus of Nazareth. As he got to read or hear read and pray and sing Psalm 146. And he prayed this passage. He sang this passage. Jesus preached this passage with his life in a perfect way, something you and I can't do. And so we want to remember when we read different passages, especially in the Old Testament, they're very centered in Christ. As Jesus said, you know, all these scriptures, they make reference to me. Keep Him at the center of them so we could begin to walk in God's ways. So here's some thoughts on Psalm 146. First six lines, God gives us directions. Okay, very brief way. It has to do with praising His name. The word praise means to exalt, to boast about, to honor, to give thanks, to make a big deal about. I don't know what you made a big deal about this week. God invites you to make a big deal about Him. Okay? To praise His name, to give Him honor. And then that's 6 lines worth. And then 17 lines, God reminds us how faithful He is. So a little bit about us, which is appropriate. A lot about the Lord, which is really appropriate. Good way to live your Christian life. Good way to come to church. A lot about the Lord, little bit about us. It'll keep us healthy. And so God's Word says, praise the Lord. It's an invitation for all of us to do that. I remember one man tried to get us to praise the Lord a lot in fellowship when we would gather informally. He was given the assignment to lead the singing. That would be like if God said, okay, Wes Hughes, lead the singing, or Ron Dornan, or Frank Kohler. Just get a guy up there and sing away. And he was very good. And in between songs, he would say, right after this song, I want you to praise God with some words of honor to Him. And so people would do that for just a little bit. And then there would be some moments of silence, some awkward moments of silence. I remember one time in a praise God situation where you say something good about the Lord. There was something going on in my life that I was thankful for, but I didn't want to share specifically. So I raised my hand and said, unspoken praise. Unspoken praise. You're not supposed to do that so much. But rather to praise God with your heart and with your lips. But this fella, if people didn't praise God readily enough, he would start to yell at us. Okay? If you really love the Lord, you'd say something good about Him. And you end up going away feeling terrible about yourself. Pastor Ash said, in a situation like that, go up to the man and say, thank you for helping me feel terrible about myself. God really spoke to me when I did. You know, feel so out of touch with how great He is. But God says, praise Him. He doesn't yell at us to do it. He more invites us. It's like something's going on already. A whole bunch of praises through what God made. Jesus said, if the people don't praise, then there'll be some rocks that praise the things that He made. But all kind of good things happen, as we say, praise God. It's more of a gospel invitation, good news. Someone said, to know God is to praise God. To know God is to praise God. If we know God well, we'll praise God a lot. We know God a little bit, we'll praise God a little bit. If we don't know God, don't praise God. So it's a good indication of a heart commitment. And praise comes from life with God. Second verse, His Word says, O my soul, I will praise the Lord as long as I live. Now, none of us could really say that because we're off and on with our praises. But Jesus is the only one who lived this verse out. Okay, He praised the Father all the time. He was really good at that. His whole life was one praise to the Father. And so we say, thank you, Lord, you're like that. Jesus leads our praises to God, and His Holy Spirit reminds us how great God is. Someone said, praising God is like doing the wave at a baseball game. I don't know if people still do the wave. They did the wave back in the 1980s when I went to a couple ball games. The wave is when a couple people stand up and say, whoa, and everybody looks at them like, there's no home run. Sit down and be quiet. But they do it again. Whoa. A couple more people do it. Harold and Ron, and then the whole row, and then this row too. And by the time it gets over here, you know, if a quarter of the stadium is doing the wave, you can't stop the wave. Whether you praise in the wave or not, the wave is going to keep going. I've been in the stadium where, you know, 30,000 people, for no good reason at all, are saying, whoa. But you and I, we have a good reason in our souls to praise God. And the part of the good news is we don't have to start the wave, and we can't stop the wave. The wave is happening. There are praises to God all over the place. And He invites us. You want to be in the wave? You want to praise Him? As long as you live, you could do this. Of course, Jesus did that with His life. He lives in us. He helps us to say, well, I can remember the goodness of God, even in my most tragic moments. I'm still amazed, for example, how people worship God at a funeral. You would think the last place anybody would have a measure of joy or strength or say, God is really good, would be at a funeral. Because it's losing your loved one. They're not with you anymore, and you're sad and you're brokenhearted. But to say, somehow God's greater than this because Jesus rose from the dead. So I can say, thank you, Lord. I get to see you. I get to see my loved one with you because they trusted you. To praise the Lord as long as you live. And then verse 3, a little bit of a warning. Don't trust in princes. Neither the singer Prince, nor Prince Harry, nor Prince William. Okay? Don't trust in people, no matter what kind of excelled position they have. they'll let you down. Another reason not to trust them, the Bible says, it's because they're going to die. They're going to be gone. So why are you saying, you know, everything about life is important is this in this prince in your life? Prince Charming or whomever else you have in mind. Instead, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. He'll be there all the time for you. And the best part of the psalm comes next in the next five verses where we kind of move away from our responsibility to the greatness of God, the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. As people were praying about that this morning, just being here, we're thankful for June getting here. The rains of May have departed and the sunshine of June is upon us. We're glad about that. The Lord, maker of heaven and earth. And people make a big deal appropriately about people who invent things. It's quite an accomplishment to invent something, to be like a co-creator in a situation. Got to be at Thomas Edison's house a number of times, old-time house down in Florida. Light bulb, thank you, Thomas Edison. Car, you know, we're behind it every day, Lord willing, somewhat. Thank you, Henry Ford, or whoever it was. Facebook, thank you, Mark Zuckerberg, or maybe not so much. Okay. All the young people, Mark Zuckerberg. He's in my life every day. Try this on. Heaven and earth. Heaven and earth. And Henry Ford, and Thomas Edison, and Mark Zuckerberg. Creator. The Lord God. You know, everything that has breath. Everything that has life. Well, we made a big deal about Edison. Let's make a really big deal about the Lord. Praise Him. Lord of heaven and earth. And God gives us a list of rescue missions that He single-handedly accomplishes. And you're on this list, by the way. People hopefully were very moved by the movie Schindler's List, where one man said, I gotta try to get people from death to life. He was a heroic guy. Felt like he didn't do enough. So here's God's list, okay? He starts writing this list. These are the people I'm going to save from death to life. The Lord upholds the oppressed. So if you're beat down by life, weary, weak, He says, the Lord will uphold you. Gives food to the hungry. Oh, if you just had any joy in your life at bread that brought you satisfaction, what would it be? The Lord would give you Himself. He's the food. Sets the prisoner free. Oh, I'm in prison to my past. I'm in prison to sin. I'm in prison to my crabby neighbor or my broken family. What I got to get out. The Lord will set you free. Right here. In your soul. He'll give sight to the blind. I can't see God. I can't see anything good. God gives us sight. Lifts up the bowed down. You could be bowed down from grief or bowed down from guilt. God says He'll lift you up. He's worthy of praise. Watches over the immigrant. I don't know how you feel about the guy from Mexico. I don't know how you feel about the guy from Malaysia or the Philippines. Are they supposed to be here? What's going on? I know how God feels about them. He watches over them. He watches over them. You should watch over them. That's a good thing. The Lord loves the righteous, those who have received the goodness of God, sustains the fatherless and the widow. Oh, you know, loved one isn't there and protection isn't there. God will sustain you and frustrates the plans of the wicked. We want God to frustrate us when we're against Him. Right? I want God to stop me in my tracks before I do anything worse than I've already done. We need that in a desperate manner. And so this is like a list of people who get to be saved by the Lord. Are you on the list? Have you been blind or hungry or oppressed or feeling like you don't fit in? You feel like an immigrant in a secular world. God will help you. This is the list of people who participate in communion. The lonely, the fatherless, the widow, the prisoner needing set free. And the psalm closes by saying, the Lord reigns forever for all generations. All generations. So you have the 99-year-old guy or gal, they're praising God. And you have the 3-year-old, they're saying, Jesus loves me. This I know. For all generations, God will be praised. And it's almost like Jesus leading these praises, it's almost like an application of Romans 11. From Christ and to Christ are all things. So he is the source of praise. He teaches us how to praise. And we as God's people, we learn how to do this. He's good. I think a place to start again, which brings refreshment to our soul, is to say, I was the worst sinner I knew. Who's the worst sinner you know? Is it somebody on TV? Is it Lady Gaga? Is it, you know, who's the worst sinner you know? The Bible says, guess what? You're the worst sinner you know. Because you and I know how we are more perfectly than any other person knows. And the Bible will tell us God came to save bad people. And so we can start there and say, I can't believe it. Praise God. Praise God through all generations. Could we pray together as we come to His table? He gives His life for us while we were yet helpless. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord. You reign forever. You're in charge of each moment of history and each moment of our life. We think sometimes it's about us and how it affects us, but really, you're engineering something fantastic for which you'll get a lot of praise forever. And help us as children of God to praise you for all generations. We remember people who need your help in times of difficulty. We know they praise you in the midst of sadness. This is pretty inspiring. They lean on you. And Jesus, you even stopped the night before you died and sang with your followers and prayed with your followers and had a meal with your followers. So we're doing that today. Please give strength and help to people who hurt physically, those in the hospital recently, Herb Anderson and Bruce Schneider, surgery for Janice Lazaro coming out of that, and Nancy Lippi. We pray for the little blessing Blake Sturgis. Give him health every day. Lord, is a gift. Be with the high school grads. Thank you for them. Ryan Norton and Alex Niedermeyer, Jason Paul. And thank you for Jason being here at 8:30 with his Army uniform on. Very inspiring that he would be a soldier following you. And be with missionaries, Father, who serve you, Daryl and Cheryl Fennessy, in the Middle East. Please rescue the 300 girls in Nigeria, the little ones who were taken by evil men. And it's your word that said you set the prisoner free, so please do that on their behalf. We pray the same for Pastor Abedini. And we ask you hear our silent prayers as we want peace with you, Jesus, through what you did for us. Help us just to say how great you are and talk to you about our need, our sin, our problems. Hear our silent prayers.